Yeah, truly worship this morning, and that you worship every day of your lives with the opportunities that you have before you to live a life pleasing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are continuing to work towards winning Wilsonville, as we will be reaching out and striving to knock on as many doors in this community that we can the first Sunday night of May, June, July, and August. From 4 to 6, we'll be out knocking on doors and sharing the love of Jesus with our community around us. I hope that you've already got that on your calendar. I hope that you're planning on being a part with us and going out with a team to minister in the name of Jesus Christ and be an ambassador for Him. We have an opportunity in this community to do something great, and I pray that we will do that in a way that would be pleasing and honorable to Jesus Christ. Today we're going to be talking about white for the harvest. John chapter 4 is where we're going to be looking. So if you have your Bibles, you may want to turn with me there. I'm going to read these verses together today, and then we're going to talk about them for just a little bit, about being a witness for Jesus Christ, sowing seeds in the community around us, where we live, and then on throughout the world with the things that we have to do for Jesus Christ. So let's pick up in verse 31 where he says, "Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you do not know about.' So the disciples were saying to one another, 'No one brought him anything to eat, did he?' Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for the harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for the life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. From that city many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all the things that I have done.' So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word, and they were saying to the woman, 'It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world.'" Now, this is this scripture that we just read is following the scripture that tells us of the woman at the well. Jesus has met the woman at the well. He's been talking with her. He's been sharing with her. He has offered her water that she could drink and never thirst again. And he's talking about eternal life and a relationship with him. And she has accepted that and gone back into the city and been sharing about what Jesus Christ has told her. And the amazement that she has in that relationship that she has begun with him. Now, when Jesus was sharing with the woman at the well, the disciples had gone ahead. They had gone into the city to find something to eat. They were hungry, and they were trying to find something to eat. They came back. They were amazed that he was talking to this woman. Number one, she was a Samaritan. And the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. They didn't want anything to do with each other. They didn't want to talk with each other. They tried not to come in contact with each other. But here Jesus was taking the disciples through Samaria, so they were obviously going to come in contact with the Samaritans. They had gone to find something to eat. They come back and find not only is he talking with a Samaritan, he's talking with a Samaritan woman. And they're trying to figure all this out while they talk with him. And they knew he was hungry. They knew he had to be hungry. And so they had gone in and they had found something to eat and they had brought it back. They had brought some for Jesus. And Jesus wasn't hungry. He had been satisfied with something greater than physical food. He had been sharing spiritual food. He was about his Father's business. He was doing what needed to be done. He showed compassion. He showed love. He reached out in a way that the disciples were amazed at, and I'm sure this woman and this community were amazed at how he took the time to see and their needs, their problems, talk with them, and even stay with them a couple of days. Jesus being a Jew, he wasn't supposed to want to do that. But Jesus loves everyone. Aren't you glad? He loves you. Aren't you glad? It's a great thing. There's potential. There's potential. This is what Jesus wants them to see. Too many Christians give up too easily when things aren't going well or when things aren't the way we want them to look. Sometimes sharing Jesus is done by what someone looks like, how they dress, what we may have heard about them. We get real concerned about who and get kind of picky sometimes about who we're going to share Jesus with and the opportunities that are before us. But folks, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Jesus tells the disciples here, look at the fields. And what he wants them to do is turn around and look at the city that they've just entered into. They have told no one about Jesus. They have told no one that Jesus is there. They went in to do what they wanted to do. Get something to eat. They were hungry. You ever been hungry and you wanted something to eat? Many times we do that and we lose track of what's most important. Jesus is most important. And he tells them, look at the fields around you. Look at what's going on around you. You know, sometimes we go to new places. Or sometimes, even when we're in a place that we've lived for a long time and we forget, we get careless, we give up, we get lazy, all kinds of things that can happen to us, but we don't see the people with the love that Christ sees them with. Jesus walked into Samaria with love and compassion in his heart. The disciples didn't have that same love and compassion when they walked in. They were learning another lesson. We need to learn those kind of lessons sometimes, don't we? We need to learn those lessons of love and how to show compassion to people that may not be just like us. They may live a different lifestyle than us. But folks, they need Jesus. They need to hear and see the love of Jesus. Jesus says, look at the fields. They're ready. They're white for the harvest. Look around you. Look at these people. They need the gospel. They need Jesus. Jesus is saying, they need me. I'm here for them, just like I'm here for you. They're ready. Folks, there are those in Wilsonville, in Columbiana, in Shelby, in Harpersville, in Chelsea, in Alabaster, in Pelham, in Birmingham, in all these places around us. People need Jesus. There's a lot of times we get caught up in what we're doing. We get caught up in the moment of what's going on in our lives. We're busy people. We've got a lot going on. We get up early and we go to work. We come home late from work. We're tired. And we're not interested in what other people's problems are. We're not interested in the things going on around us. I never find in Scripture where Jesus is not interested in your problems. I never find in Scripture where Jesus is not ready to show love to the person that he comes in contact with. I find in Scripture all the time where Jesus shows up, there's a need, he tries to take care of the physical needs, and then he tries to take care of the spiritual needs. We all know it's hard to concentrate when you're hungry. A lot of folks are already focused on lunch. It's hard to focus on what the preacher's saying when you're hungry. It's hard to focus on different things. But you know, the disciples were hungry, but they were missing what was most important. And Jesus is saying that the fields are ready now. There are people all around. There are some here this morning that need to hear. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood for you, so that you could have forgiveness for your sin. He went to the grave. He was buried. But 3 days later, he rose from the grave victorious over death, over sin, over hell, over the grave, and he offers that life to you. Jesus loves you. He cares about you. And he cares about all these folks in this community around us who have never been to church. And amazingly, as it seems to be here in America today, I've come across people that don't own Bibles, that have never been to church, that have never had somebody come and share with them the love of Jesus Christ. They need you. They need you. Folks, I hope you can amen that. Maybe you did in your heart. But sometimes I think we're afraid to amen those kind of things because we realize that means I've got work to do. And we do, every one of us. Look with me over in the book of Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. Jesus is speaking here, and he's teaching again. And he says here, beginning in verse 35. I pause just a second. I hear pages turning. He says here in verse 35, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. I want to pause right there and ask you, as you look around this world today, as you look around this community today, do you not see sheep, people that look like sheep, that are dispirited and in need of a shepherd? You look around our nation and we see sheep that are dispirited and in need of a shepherd. We see it all around us. Same people that Jesus is talking about. People have not changed through the years. Technology has changed. A lot of stuff has changed. But people are still people. And the Bible still speaks to us today. And these are the people around us. Verse 37, then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." The laborers are few. The laborers are few. We like to come to church. We like to spend time around Christian folks. We like to worship together. We like to share together. We like to sing together. But when we start talking about working in the fields, it gets a little tough sometimes. The disciples had missed the opportunity. Seems like there are few that go out today. When we look at the church as a whole, many of those teach today that we're supposed to just sit in the church and wait on people to come to us. I don't see that in the Word of God. That's not what he's teaching right here. He's teaching us that we've got work to do for the kingdom of God. Many people believe it's the preacher's job or the church staff job. Or the Sunday school teacher's job. Or the deacons. And folks, it is our job. But it's everybody's. But it's more than just a job. Actually, it's not a job at all. It's a mission. God has sent us on a mission as ambassadors for Him into the world around us. Whatever your world may be, whatever your world involves, you are an ambassador for Christ to take His message, the gospel, His love to the world. Folks, that's an exciting thing. God has chosen you, the body of Christ, to take the message that He has left behind, the gospel, that Jesus has been to the cross, that He's been to the grave, that He's risen from the grave. He's ascended to heaven. He's coming back. Folks, when we can share that message with others, we're sharing God's love, God's message with those around us. Tonight I'm going to be talking a little more about those that we're sharing with, the soil. I'm going to share a little bit about that this morning, but we'll be talking about that more tonight. But the Bible teaches that it is every Christian's mission to be on the move, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with those around us. But what we realize is this, there must be preparation. Preparation is always important. If there's something important to do, we need to be prepared for it. We need to do the things that need to be done so that we're ready. And this is important. This is actually the most important message that anyone can hear and anyone can respond to. Jesus commanded us in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, in John, in Acts, go into the world and reach the world for me. That's what he says. Share the message. And that's what we want to be talking about. The sowers must be prepared. You know, a farmer, when he's ready to sow, he has to have his seeds ready. He has to have his fertilizer ready. He has to have his equipment ready. And most of the people I know that have gardens or do farm work, they get all this prepared ahead of time. They don't come to the day that it's time to begin sowing the seeds, and then they say, oh, I need to go to the store. My tractor's not ready. I don't have any seed with me. No, they've done their work. They've prepared for the day. They're prepared to go out. They're prepared to do what needs to be done. The sower must be prepared. And he has himself ready. When we sow the Word of God, we need to be ready. First of all, we need to know the Word. We need to know Jesus. And we need to know His Word, the Bible. And first of all, we need that relationship with Jesus Christ, so that we can be led by His Holy Spirit as we go. But we need to know the Word of God, because we're not sharing our message. We're sharing God's message. We're not doing this to honor Steve. We're doing this to honor Jesus. And we have a message that the world needs to hear. So we've got to know the Word. We need to spend time in prayer. Y'all believe in the power of prayer? I believe in the power of prayer. When Gary and I go out on Monday nights, we pray before we go. I pray before I get here to meet Gary to go and start going out and sharing with people. We pray. And what do we pray for? First of all, we pray for wisdom and guidance, that God will give us wisdom as we go, that He will guide our tongues, that He will guide us to the places that we need to go, that He'll put us in the right place at the right time, that we won't get ahead of God, that we will be prepared in our hearts. I pray for cleansing in my life, that I won't get in the way, and that this won't become about me. I pray for those that we're going to see. Sometimes I know who we're going to see, and sometimes I don't. But God always knows. God knows who we're going to come in contact with. And I pray that He'll be preparing their hearts. And hopefully someone has gone before us to share the message that Jesus has given to us. And we need to take the tools that we need to use as we share, to show the love of Christ. We take the tools that we need, mainly the Word of God, so that we can have it and share it. And we need to be prepared to allow the Holy Spirit, as we've already said, to work in a way and not get in His way, but allow Him to work through us. Look with me in the book of Hosea for just a minute, chapter 10. Chapter 10. Not only must the sower be prepared, but the soil needs to be prepared. In Hosea chapter 10, Hosea writes, "Sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until He comes to rain righteousness on you." Folks, I've watched many prepare the soil when the springtime comes. People get their tractors out, they plow up the ground, they break it up. Sometimes they do it over and over again to get the ground good and ready. And what are they waiting on? What are they preparing it with? They're waiting on the rains to come. Spring rains come, and they help to get the soil prepared. The the warm sunshine that comes down that helps prepare the soil. They're doing the different things so the soil is prepared for what needs to be done. Folks, verse 38, back in the book of John chapter 4, it indicates to us that there were others who had already been preparing the way. Jesus is telling them that other workers have been here. Now, he doesn't tell us who those workers are. We don't have any idea who they might have been. And there's no need for us to know. He's just said others have prepared the way and this place is ready for the harvest. Others have come in and shared the things that are going on. There may have been some Samaritans that had seen Jesus before. There may have been some others that had seen what Jesus had done and knew that they needed to share with the Samaritan people. I don't know. But it seems like that there are others who had gone before them. But the soil had been prepared. We need to prepare the soil. You know, too many times we're complaining about what's going on in the world. We're complaining about the things that are going on around us. We need to be loving people. We need to have compassion for the people around us. You know, sometimes we're too worried about where others are in their lives in every area except in their relationship with Jesus. We get caught up in a lot of things, but we need to show the love and compassion of Jesus Christ and be faithful in preparing the soil, which means we go out and we share. Now, what we realize is this, not every person we share with is going to accept Jesus. And we'll be talking about that tonight as we talk about the soil more and the people that we'll be sharing with. But many times people are say they come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not only must the sower and the soil be prepared, but the reaper must be prepared. There's a time to reap the harvest. When the fruit becomes ripe, it's time to go out and bring it in. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell these folks, His disciples. Look around. Look at what's going on around you. Look at what's happening. You had an opportunity to share this message. This woman, she has gone back into the village and she has begun to share. And people are responding. Why? Because the soil had been prepared. Now, that doesn't mean every Samaritan accepted Jesus, but it tells us here many of them did. Folks, and we need to be ready when the fruit is ripe. We need to be prepared to do what needs to be done. You know, sometimes we're preparing the soil, sometimes we're sowing the seed, and sometimes we're reaping the harvest. We're always doing something to build the kingdom. And we don't need to get lazy about it. Because when we get lazy, we miss a lot of opportunities. Have you ever missed an opportunity in life because you were lazy and didn't step up and then all of a sudden realized, you know, if I had just done what I could have done, this could have happened? This is the way it is with the gospel many times. We've got work to do. There needs to be teamwork. Folks, we're all on a team together. Do y'all realize that? We're all on God's team. And we're working together. And many of us have different responsibilities, but we all have work to do. We're all on the same team. Everybody has different gifts, but we do all share the same gospel. Now realize that? We've got different gifts, but we do all share the same gospel. We need to work together and realize that if we're doing what we're supposed to, then we all are playing a role in leading someone to Jesus, in leading someone to that relationship in Jesus Christ. There are sowers. Now, sowers sometimes we'll also get to reap. Sometimes we sow and sometimes we reap. But all the glory goes to God. All the glory for every salvation goes to God. There are reapers. These will also do some sowing. Sometimes we sow and we don't reap for a while. And then sometimes we get to reap. But sometimes we reap and sometimes we sow, but all the glory goes to God. All of it. And we need to give Him that honor and glory. And then the Bible says here that they rejoice together. They rejoice together. We celebrate for those who receive Christ. We celebrate together in what God is doing. We celebrate in who He is. And folks, we've got to allow God to work. We've got to allow God to do His thing. It's not about our timing. Here at Wilsonville, we've seen the harvest and it's been great. And we've seen some dry times. But God is still at work. And we still need to be faithful in doing what we're called out to do so that He can accomplish what He wants to in our lives and in this community. We're called to be faithful and let God take care of the rewards. The rains come at the right time. You realize that? The rains come at the right time. We've got to be faithful and be prepared. So when the rains come, we've done the work and we can reap the harvest. And there will be a harvest. At the right time, there will be a harvest. So we need to remember that. But we've also got to remember this. It takes effort. It takes effort. When I've watched farmers, I realize this. It's not an easy life. It's a hard life. My granddaddy raised cattle. He wasn't raising a crop, but he was raising cattle. And he would cut his own hay, and we would have to go out and get the hay up out of the field. It wasn't an easy life, but it was one that he enjoyed and one that he knew he needed to do. In verse 38, the same Greek word that is used for labor is translated in John chapter 4, verse 6, with the word wearied. And John's letting us know that the task is difficult. And sometimes it's tiring. People are amazed sometimes when I tell them I am tireder on Sunday evening than any other night of the week. I preach three times on Sunday. Preaching takes very much out of me physically and very much out of me spiritually. And so when I get home, I'm very tired on Sunday evenings. That's what he's trying to share here. When we go out and we work the field, not only have we given of ourselves physically, we've given of ourselves spiritually. We see that Jesus in His physical body, when He would perform miracles, when He would do the spiritual things, He would need to get away because His body was a human body and He would be tired. We get weary. The Bible teaches us don't become weary in well-doing, in doing the work for Jesus Christ. Continue at it. Keep going. Keep doing. And realize this, it is proportionate. The results are proportionate with what we put in. If the sower just throws out a few seeds, he's only going to get a little fruit. But if the sower goes out and sows much, his harvest is going to be greater. It's the same way with the gospel. If we don't share the gospel with anybody, we can't expect anybody to be saved, can we? We can't expect to see results. If we do just a little bit, we can expect to see few results. But if we work together as a church body and we get out and we continually do the work that God has called us out to do at the proper time, the rains come and the harvest comes in. People are saved. Folks, I believe in the gospel. I believe in salvation. Jesus is teaching us that the fields are white for the harvest. Wilsonville's ready for somebody to step up and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our question today is it going to be me? Am I going to be willing to go? Am I going to be willing to share? Now, like we've said, not everybody receives the gospel when we share with them. But it's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to share the gospel. That person has to choose whether or not they receive it or not. But we allow the Holy Spirit to go to work in their lives. And we just do what we're supposed to do. We love them like Jesus teaches us to love. We meet their needs the way Jesus teaches us to meet their needs. And we share with them as only He can do. And folks, this is eternal work. This is not just something that's here today and gone tomorrow. We know the Bible teaches that once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He will come into your life and He will never leave you. You are His and He is yours forever, for all eternity. God loves you that much. Isn't that a great thing to grasp a hold of? God loves you that much. He's not going to let go. But He has called you out. He has called you out to follow Him. Many Samaritans believed in Jesus because there had been work put in. The soil had been prepared. And this was a day of harvest from a lady's testimony. What about your testimony? Who have you shared it with lately? Who have you told about what Jesus Christ has done for you? I will tell you this, and I can tell you this with certainty, there is nobody that has done more. Jesus loves you and He cares about you. Are you ready to be a worker in the field? Are you ready to be a worker in the field? I invite you today to come and kneel here at the altar. Commit to God today. I'm ready to be a worker in the field. I'm ready to follow You. I'm ready to follow Your plan. I'm ready to sow. I'm ready to reap. I'm ready to wear out telling people about what You've done for me. I invite you to the altar this morning. Maybe people in your heart already that you're wanting to pray for. And I invite you to come and pray for those people. That God will be preparing their hearts just as He's preparing yours. There may be those here today who have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I want to tell you, there's no better time than right now. This moment. If you know Jesus Christ is speaking to your heart through the Holy Spirit, and you know it, I invite you to come. Let us take God's Word and show you in God's Word God's plan of salvation. Because it is His plan. He's the one who died. He's the one who rose again. He's the one that offers you the greatest gift that you could ever have. Eternal life with Him. Will you come this morning? Father, as we come to this time today, we praise You once again for the opportunity to be together and for how You speak to us powerfully through Your Word. Father, many times it's not easy for us. We need strength and courage from You. We pray today that as You touch our hearts, that, Father, You would move as You see fit and help us to have the courage to step forward as You lead us to. Father, help us not to get in Your way, but to allow You to use us beginning right now in this moment. I thank You for this church family. And I thank You for the community that is around us. I thank You that You have told us in your word that there are those that right now are ready. And I pray that you would help us to go to these people and sow and reap and rejoice. Father, you are great and wonderful. And we thank you for your love and your salvation. In your name I pray. Amen. As we stand together and we sing now, you come.
You are my strength when I am weak.